We are going to continue our study of the book of Proverbs this morning, and that passage that we just read will serve as a text. Before we do that, I want to just say something quickly about an announcement that was made by Dennis a few minutes ago. I'm confident that when he said that gospel preacher Randall McPherson passed away, that many of you, and maybe even most of you, were probably thinking, I don't know who that is. And that's too bad. I mean, that's too bad for you. It was my privilege and my honor to have known Brother McPherson. No relation, by the way, I think, to our McPhersons as far as we know, but I first met Randall about 25 years ago, and I got to know Randall's story, an incredibly godly man. He was a great servant. Randall was preaching back in the 60s. He was preaching around Monroe County. And in 1970, he moved to Cumberland County. Cumberland County, Kentucky, east of here, very small. I think still only a few thousand people, 5 or 6 or 7 thousand people maybe live in the whole county. But there are several churches that belong to the Lord in that county. And Brother McPherson and his godly wife moved to Berksville, and they stayed there for the rest of their lives. And he served in various capacities in those churches, preached for those brethren. He served that community. It's hard telling how many hundreds of funerals Brother McPherson preached. Sometime back in the mid-90s, I was having supper with he and his wife in their home in Berksville, and he told me that he wouldn't be able to come that night to hear me preach because he had a visitation that he had to attend and then a funeral to preach the next day. And he said, and this was sometime in the fall, maybe September or October, I was preaching in a meeting at Christian Chapel. He said, this is my 44th funeral this year. Brother McPherson was just that kind of a man that people would turn to, people would look to for help and assistance. I doubt there's a living person in Cumberland County who didn't know Randall McPherson. And it's just very sad to me that he was not more widely known by brethren than he is. But I'm going to miss him. And he was a dear friend of mine. And I appreciate so much his humble life of service. I ask Ian to just read that little section of the book of Judges that is part of the story of Samson and Delilah. We know that story pretty well. Excuse me. And in the story, he says, or the text says, that Samson told Delilah all his heart and said to her, and then he tells her what the real secret of his strength is, that he had taken this Nazarite vow. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Samson lived to regret that he hadn't kept his mouth shut? Have you ever regretted that you didn't keep your mouth shut? That you didn't stay quiet? I guarantee you Samson did. That very night, Samson lost his eyes. And he lost his eyes because he lost his power with God. He became a slave of the Philistines. He will work doing slave things for them for the rest of his life. He dies a glorious death, but it's a tragic death. All because he didn't keep quiet. All because he couldn't control his tongue. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and that has given me an opportunity to spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs for the last 3 months. And one of the things that is very impressive to me is how much the book of Proverbs has to say about the tongue. And so what I want to do is I want to try to collect, I have collected some of what the book of Proverbs says about the tongue. And I want to suggest to you this morning 4 questions to help us know when to keep our mouths shut. Actually, I phrased it a little more politely than that. on the slide, when to keep quiet. But four questions to help us know when to keep quiet. And what I'm going to do, for the most part, I'm just going to let the scriptures talk this morning. Because again, there is so much in the book of Proverbs about the tongue. And I will make a few comments along the way, but mostly we're just going to let the book of Proverbs talk to us this morning about our tongues and keeping our tongues under control. So here's the first question. To ask before we say something, is it right to say? Is it right to say? Don't say it if it might be evil. Here's what Solomon says. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And I will occasionally, in brackets, place the New American Standard or the New King James Translation, whoever restrains his lips is wise. Leave Proverbs just briefly and look at Psalm 39 and verse 1. I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. Everybody in here, I think, knows what a muzzle is. So long as the wicked are in my presence. Don't say it if it might be evil. Along that same line, thinking about is it right to say, don't say it if it might not be true. And I worded it this way intentionally. Absolutely, for certain, don't say it if you know it's not true. That's not this point necessarily. Don't say it if you're not sure it's true. Don't say it if it may not be true. I love Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 14. Bad, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts. There are a lot of things you could say about that text. But, and this text is not saying, by the way, that it's wrong to try to get a good deal. But what this text is saying is we ought not to ever lie to get a good deal or to make a good deal. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10, do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be held guilty. Falsely accusing someone, when we don't know all the facts. And we might very well end up falsely accusing someone. Don't say it if it might not be true. Is it right to say? Don't say it if it's not appropriate. I like this too in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25. Whoever sings songs, all of these are English Standard Translation. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. He's not saying here again either that it's wrong to sing or that music cannot help someone who is distressed. He's talking about the kind of joyful singing. For example, when a person has lost a loved one or somebody is distressed over a problem, Solomon says that's not the time to sing joyful songs to them. That's not appropriate. They need words of comfort and encouragement. Don't say it if it's not appropriate. Is it right to say? That's the first question. That ought to always be in our minds before we open our mouths and say something. The second question is this. Have I thought first? Have I thought first? I had intended to say, you know, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but has anybody ever spoken without thinking? And then I thought about it. And it occurred to me, what a dumb question. Of course, if you speak, you have spoken from time to time without thinking. Have I thought first? Don't say it if you're not sure you should. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. And Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Notice again Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28. What does the righteous person do? Remember when we introduced the book of Proverbs, we said that one of the purposes of the book of Proverbs is to contrast righteousness and wisdom with foolishness. What does the righteous person do? He thinks, he ponders, he contemplates before he answers. The wicked person just blurts out the first thing that comes into his mind. Don't say it if you're not sure you should. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. I may come back in another lesson in a few weeks to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. I like that, especially the English Standard Version rendering, he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. But in this verse, who is the one who has a cool spirit, who is a man of understanding? It is the one who restrains his words. That person has knowledge. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, a fool gives quick vent to his spirit. And some translations say a quick vent to his mind. In other words, what's being said here is the first thing that pops into his mind, he says. He gives full vent to it. But a wise man quietly holds it back. And so don't say it if you're not sure you should. Have I thought first? That question seems so obvious. The fact that we miss it so often shows that it's not as obvious or it's not as well understood perhaps as we think that it should be. The third question is, could it cause harm? Could it cause harm? Don't say it if it might be gossip. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. The word that's translated slander, and one of the translations, I don't remember if it's the New American Standard or the New King James, renders that word talebearer, which really is probably a more literal translation of the word into English. That person is one, according to the scholars, who carries tales or stories about other people. And the interesting thing about that definition is it doesn't have to be false. It might very well be true. Whether it's true or whether it's false does not determine whether or not it is slander. How many times have we heard people tell something about someone? In the local church, maybe especially. Have you heard this? Let me tell you what so-and-so said. Let me tell you what so-and-so did. And when you challenge them on it, well, it's true. It's true. It might very well be true. That's beside the point sometimes. The question is, why are you saying it? Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. And again, probably shouldn't need to suggest to an audience like this, but perhaps we should, that's not suggesting that we hide or that we cover up sin, or that we don't try to help people to come to a better understanding about the knowledge of God's Word. It's talking about telling things about other people to try to harm them or to try to hurt them in some way. A prudent man, chapter 12 and verse 23, conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Don't say it if it is hurtful and not helpful. Whoever keeps his mouth shut, or by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve and protect them. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, who love that power, in other words, will eat of its fruit. And Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Could it cause harm? Could it cause harm? And all of these passages are admonishing us that if it could cause harm, we need to not say it. Don't say it if it will make things worse. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. And I like this verse a lot. As a matter of fact, this would be a good memory verse. A good verse for people to memorize. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from trouble. Lots of ways that we could illustrate that in our own lives, right? Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Some people have shown by their action that they are fools, and it might very well be a waste of time to try to give them wise counsel because they're not going to pay attention to what you say. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Could it cause harm? Could it cause harm? Is what I'm about to say going to be harmful or hurtful to other people? The fourth question, will I regret having spoken? Well, I regret having spoken. Lots of different ways that the book of Proverbs approaches this. For example, don't say it if it could hurt your influence. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Sometimes it's best to say nothing at all. Will I regret having spoken? Don't say it if it could hurt your influence. And don't say it if it is boastful. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 25 and verse 14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. You know, have you ever been around someone? I don't know exactly how to word this. I want to be careful. But have you ever been around someone who just can't wait to tell you all of the things that they've accomplished, all of the things that they've done? Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. Verse 20, chapter 27 and verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Chapter 27 and verse 2, let another praise you, and let not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to say what I said at the very beginning of the lesson about Brother McPherson. Is I wanted to say something about him to you that he would never have said about himself. He would never have seen himself that way. And he would never be boasting and bragging to you about all of the things that he accomplished and all of the things that he did. My guess is that over the course of the next few days, as family and friends assemble for the visitation and for the funeral, there are going to be lots of stories told about all the things that Brother McPherson did for people in that region, in that area. As a matter of fact, I was sharing some of those stories with another good friend of mine on Friday night over in Monticello when we assembled together for another great, humble man's memorial service, Brother John Rickett. I saw Brother Tommy Nelson. And Tommy's another one of those gospel preachers whose name probably doesn't mean much to many people here. Tom preaches in the great metropolis of Stop, Kentucky. Well, Kentucky just has some wonderful small town names. Stop, Kentucky. Tommy's been there for many, I know 30 years. I suspect longer than that. And he came to the memorial service for Brother Rickett in Monticello on Friday night. And he pulled me aside and he said, had you heard that Randall is not doing well? And I had not heard that he was really bad. I knew that he was getting older and I knew that he was having health problems and that his wife especially was having health problems. But Tommy said, no, he's farther along than that. He really probably doesn't have much time left. And then I found out the next day that he had passed away. But Tommy and I were talking about just what a great servant Randall was of other people. And by the way, the same thing exactly is true of John Rickett. And John would not have boasted and bragged to you about all the things that he accomplished in his life. There is a meeting room in that county, and I can't remember the name of the county. Isn't that embarrassing that I live in Kentucky and don't know a county name? But in Monticello, there is a meeting room that is the John Rickett meeting room. And I met people on Friday night at the memorial service, including the 4-H director in that county who came to the service on Friday night, who said the reason they were there is because John Rickett had had an impact on their lives, some of them when they were young, when they were children. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Will I regret having spoken it? That's just a sampling, brethren. I'm going to stop. I thought it prudent not to say too much in a lesson about the tongue from the book of Proverbs. James reminds us in James chapter 3 and verse 2, we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Again, it is impressive to me how much the book of Proverbs, this book that is trying to admonish us to be wise, to be men and women of understanding, has to say about being careful what we speak, being careful what we say, being careful how we use our tongues. So the next time before you speak, in your mind, and it doesn't take long, ask yourself these four questions. Is it right to say? Have I thought first? Could it cause harm? And will I regret it later? And I'm going to leave that on the screen for just a second to say this. There is something that you could say this morning that is absolutely the right thing to say. Something that you would say because you would have given it much thought. Something that you could say this morning that would not only not cause harm, but would do great good. Something you could say this morning that you will never regret a single moment for the rest of your life. You could stand up in front of this group of people and say, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I am repenting of my sins. I want to be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's the invitation. You can say those words and leave this building in a right relationship with God. Ken has chosen this song, Healing in His Wings. While we sing the words to this song, think about your need to say what God would have you to say. And if we can help you in any way to respond to the invitation, please make your way down to one of these front seats and let us help you right now. While we stand and sing, we invite you to come.